Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 044. Yes, this is the Caffeination 44. Only 6 more shows to our big 50th episode. Stay tuned next time when we give you all the details on how to win our secret special prize. All right, we have a jam-packed show lined up for you today. I just couldn't stop getting stories and putting them up there, so I hope everybody enjoys it. First up, though, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, so I hope everybody's having a good day. Like I said, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have a whole ton of tech tidbits, a little bit from the TPN info, just one little thing to talk about from the caffeinated bits today. And we have some more music in honor of my parents who are married 30 years as of Monday the 26th. So again, a big congratulations out to them. They picked sort of one of the two songs, and the other one's kind of in honor of them, so we'll just see how that goes. Man, this has been a rough couple of days. The last couple of days before you go to closing on a house is always hard, I've heard, and we've had some issues, shall I say. I'm not going to go into any more of it on the air, because you know what? It's in the past. It's all over. I'm just going to hope everything works out all right. We do the walkthrough Thursday night, tomorrow, and then we go to settlement on Friday morning. So, whew. It's been a long, hard road so far, and it's only just beginning because we haven't even begun to fix the house yet. So, yeah, should be fun. Should be great stuff. First off, though, even though this is Caffeination 44, Colt 44 probably, greasy news and oily facts, this should actually be called the Moist Edition here. The rain that followed us up the coast from Rehoboth Beach, for talking about on the last show, apparently has inundated the entire eastern seaboard, and now they're showing clips from all over the low-lying areas around Philadelphia, where I think they've evacuated over 8,000 or 9,000 people in the Manayunk area. So our hearts and prayers actually go out to all those people who've experienced some of the flooding that's been going around. The neighborhood where we live and where we're moving to is actually a pretty high up off any real floodplains. My parents used to live a block off one stream, but yeah, it would have to rise, I think, around 35 feet for it to actually get even onto street level there. But yeah, it's been crazy around here. The major river we have around here, the Delaware River, has actually risen in some parts up to 8 to like 14 feet, and it's still going up supposedly. So, whoo! It's kind of crazy out there. Mother Nature really dropped one on us, so, yeah, we'll get you next time. That's what global warming's for, you know what I mean? Alright, we're just gonna get right into the music we have for you today. First up, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a song that I picked out for my parents. I hope they like it. It's from the venerable PodSafe music artist, Brother Love, and his song Summertime. Since they got married in the middle of the summer, the beginning of the summer, I figure it might be good for them. And just a good rocking song there, and I've wanted to play it for a couple weeks now, so this seems like a good enough time. So again, here we have Brother Love from the PodSafe Music Network with his song Summertime. Let me know what you think, everybody. Brother Love from the PodSafe Music Network and his song Summertime. So if you enjoyed that, you can head on over to Brother Love's website at brotherloverocks.com. He's one of the more preeminent artists on the PodSafe Music Network, and he's very active in promoting himself and his brand, and he does a pretty good job, I gotta say. He always puts out some good rockin' music, so hope everybody likes that kind of stuff and likes his music. And that one, as I said before, was for my parents in honor of their 30th wedding anniversary. So yeah, this is Caffeination 044 here, and next time on Caffeination 45, you're going to be able to hear all of the contest details and everything lining up for exactly how you can win something for Caffeination 50. So I hope everybody tunes in then, as always. So if this is your first time listening to the Caffeination, hello, welcome, hi, thanks for giving us a shot. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there asking for your ear and your time, so we really appreciate any time that you spend with us. And if you've been with us for a while, even if it's just a couple shows, thank you very much for sticking around and staying with us. We hopefully will be able to update our website, caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And we might be moving off of the service that we're currently hosting on Podomatic. Even though they do a fabulous job, I'm a perfectionist. I like to be able to host my own site, to throw everything up and be able to monkey with absolutely anything. So we might be moving over to a hosted site that I create, so we'll see exactly how that goes. This has been a trying podcast for more than one reason. First of all, I am flying high on some of that wake the F up coffee from the last show. And second of all, I've gone through like 6 pairs of batteries for my little wireless mouse here, so I don't know what's exactly going on. So if you hear me cursing or anything in the background, you probably won't. I'll edit it out, but still. Alright, that's enough of that. Now we're going to get on to the tech tidbits section here at the Caffeination Podcast. But first off, sorry, if you're listening to this podcast over at the stream on techpodcast.com, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. We take listener feedback, comments, whatever you feel like giving us. If you think we're doing a horrible job, please tell us. You can email us at caffeination@gmail.com. You can join our MySpace friends over at myspace.com/caffeination, and you can call our listener line direct, 206-202-2338. Now what this does is you dial up the number and you will never talk to a live person. I promise you that. So if you're a little gun shy and you just want to leave a quick note, just say, hey, I don't want this on the podcast, just talk about it. That's fine by me. I won't play it for anybody, I swear. But still, it's a great little way to send your comments in here. So I hope everybody likes that. And on to the tech tidbit section here. And I have babbled for around, almost 10 minutes here. Just think, this podcast used to be over in 15 minutes, so I was a lot more to the point. But if you go back and listen to any of the earlier shows, they were kind of wooden. I'm actually a little bit more fan of the delivery right now. Alright, well, I promised you the third part in the one-part segment of how to keep your computer safe. So, as I said before, run Microsoft Update. I just installed a new computer in work. We're setting up a computer for one of the secretaries where I work, and installed it from scratch. It only had Service Pack 1 on it, so of course, before I hooked it up online, I threw on the new Service Pack, and then I went online and hit Windows Update. There were 59 downloads after Service Pack 2. So if I hadn't installed Service Pack 2, that would have been over 300 megs of updates. These are little problems, anything from the tiniest little, thing that could cause your computer to lock up, to major security holes. So this is all stuff that you should take very seriously. So it said that the average computer used to be able to last 25 minutes online. The time is down to 3. So please, please, please run Microsoft Update. Go to windowsupdate.com, search for Microsoft Update. You'll be happy you did. All right, on to the next thing. We've already talked a little bit about some of the utilities you can use to keep your computer safe. We've talked about some of the antivirus stuff and how you can get a virus off of your computer. Little tips and tricks here and there. But now we're going to talk about cleaning out your registry. The first thing I'd like to do is explain what exactly a registry is. Now, a registry is a list of files that Windows and commands that Windows uses so that it knows where everything is on the computer. So when you click on a .jpg, if it opens up in Photoshop, that's set in the registry. If you click on a .jpg and it opens up in iTunes for some reason, that's also in the registry. Almost every little minuscule setting, every little default anything for any program is stored in the registry. Here's the trick, though. When you delete a program, not all of them delete their registry entry. So while I don't even feel comfortable messing around in the registry if I'm not really sure what I'm doing, I'm pretty sure most of you don't. So they have applications out there that I've linked up that might help you out. Now, the first one, the primary... The primary registry cleaning application is called RegScrub XP. Now, what this is it's a fabulous little app. Everything I'm going to tell you about is free here. And this one I found over on Major Geeks, just because they have MajorGeeks.com. They have a wonderful little download section. So, this was last updated, or first came out somewhere around 2002, so it's an old application, but it does the job. What it does is it searches through your registry for dead links. If there's no longer a program installed attached to a registry setting, it'll figure that out. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing you need. What you do is you just install it, you fire it up. It's going to say, do you want to back up your registry? Yes, just in case you make a mistake. And then search for problems. It's going to search for all the problems. Click the button that says fix all problems. It does that. Every once in a while, it'll pop up and say, look, I couldn't fix this. There might be something that needs it. You say, okay, and it automatically ignores it for you the next time. It's completely brainless. You don't even need to know what you're doing. It helps to know what you're doing, but you don't have to know what you're doing. So it's a wonderful little application. So what this does is completely cleans out all the old crap that you had lying around your computer. It can actually help take care of some spyware applications, but still, it's a very good application, and you'll notice that your computer actually boots quicker after you remove all the old entries. You won't notice it every time, but usually the first time you run it, you shave about 5 to 10 seconds off the boot time of your PC, which is always nice. Now, the secondary application is written by Microsoft themselves. Now, this is a wonderful little application in and of itself because it's probably one of the smallest and best written pieces of Microsoft code I've ever seen. It comes in under a meg. It's 782 kilobytes. You can fit this on an old floppy disk, all right? Now, the last time this was updated was sometime in 2002. Everybody's like, oh, man, you know, that's really old. Yeah, the last time XP was really updated was a while ago. So, I mean, it's getting a little long in the tooth there, so not much has changed, really. So, all right, so let's see. Yeah, so this one is so simple. You double-click the application, also from Major Geeks here, and what it does is it installs into a directory. It won't put itself in the start menu. It doesn't do anything you wouldn't expect a normal application to do here. Sorry, I'm playing with the levels a little bit. All right. So it wouldn't do anything you would expect a normal application to do. You got to find out where you unzipped it to. Then you double-click it. It searches for errors. Then there's one button that says fix errors. You fix errors. Now, let's just say after you'd go through all this, you notice, you know what, something's just not quite working the way it should. Well, it creates these tiny little files that are next to it called backups. Funny thing, all you have to do is take one of those backups and drag it on top of the application that you click to start the program, and it puts them back in the registry. You don't have to do anything. So if something starts to go wrong, you just do that, and hey, you're back to where you were. Now, the reason that I like these two applications specifically, and I kind of warn against a lot of the other ones, especially the ones on CNET.com, a lot of the ones that they offer are free to try, or they're just this side of spyware. I don't know. I haven't really had very many good experiences with other registry cleaners, because it's kind of a nefarious lot that hangs around that. But the biggest thing is that RegScrub XP pretty much leaves the Windows section of the registry alone. It says, you know what, Microsoft does some funky crap in there, we're leaving that alone. It'll fix the minor errors and the major things that it sees going wrong, but it won't try and tweak anything. It won't try and cut down services that you might have disabled or anything like that. The Microsoft one ignores everything else except the Microsoft crap. So, I don't know. I mean, I think they work pretty well together. So, those are my two tips and tricks on how to make your computer boot quicker. We're probably going to be doing another one of these segments in probably a month or so. You can probably tune in back in then if you don't feel that we answered your questions now. Or you can send us an email or whatever, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. All right, now on to the fun stuff for today's Caffeination as we roll past the 17-minute mark. Wow. All right, Conversion Mayhem. Now, this is something I saw when I was just surfing around on ThinkGeek. It's one of my favorite little stores to wander through and say, oh, man, I really wish I had some extra money because this stuff's cool, because they have, like, stuff for Cube Warfare. I mean, it's just crazy. Well, I mean, everybody has a mag light around the house, where a lot of people do, and geeks especially have those tiny little mag lights, the one that's run on two AA batteries. These things are absolute beasts. You can beat the hell out of these things, and they don't die. So, except for the batteries. That's always been the bad point, shall we say. Now, this thing that I have linked up is the first thing of its kind that I think I've seen. What it is, it's a conversion kit. You take apart your mag light, your mini mag light, and it turns it into an LED flashlight. Still mag light, still as indestructible as it ever was, but the batteries last that much longer. I'm like, man, this is awesome. So it's only $10 for the whole kit. And as soon as I can, I will buy it and tell everybody how it worked. But I just thought this thing was so awesome, so I had to throw it up there. Hope you all like it. But, all right, now we have a couple of nationalistic stories. And before I start in on this, here are the World Cup countries that are currently listening, besides the U.S., which was shamefully disgraced by their performance. We have France, Germany, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, Korea, Japan, Poland, England, Sweden, and Korea. Now, non-World Cup countries that I've actually seen listening recently, it's either Israel or Jordan. I can't tell. I can't zoom in close enough to see which of the two countries. So if you're listening to this podcast in Israel, Jordan, Palestine, wherever in the Mideast, then feel free to send us an email if you're free to do that, and tell us exactly what country you're from, because I think that's pretty cool. And we also had somebody start listening in Malaysia, so that's also awesome. It's been a great, great little run we've had going here. And just like to say one thing out there to all of the Australian soccer fans. That was a horrible game and a horrible penalty at the end of the game, so I feel for you. All right, on to the rest of the little tech news here. Off to the side, shall we say. There's been a lot of anti-French articles up on CNET and Tech Dirt recently, I gotta say. I mean, the French do a lot of things that people make fun of them for, but some of this is just outright unfair. But, basically, Google has said, pay no attention to the French, please. There's an article up on CNET that Google loses their French trademark lawsuit. Basically, Louis Vuitton, what it seems to be, is somebody bought in the AdWords case. Basically, if you have AdSense installed on your site, whenever certain words come up, an ad, you can like hover over them and an ad pops up, and this person who owns the site gets money. Well, somebody bought the words Louis Vuitton before Louis Vuitton, so Louis Vuitton sued. But only in France, apparently. I mean, maybe that's where it was. It was from Google France, but I don't know. That's pretty funny. I don't know. Yeah, I know it's their trademark and everything, and I think they have things in place right now to stop this from happening again. But their response at the end of the trial here is, this is an old lawsuit. We've already fixed it. Don't worry about it. So I guess either the French legal system is running unbelievably slower than the U.S. one, I doubt, but still. It was news today, so I thought I'd throw it up. And then something that I wanted to talk about a little bit ago. This guy threw up this article. Now, this is just an example of why I honestly don't like tech dirt. And I'll only link to it when articles, you know, strike my fancy, but still. It says, what's with France's Google insecurities? France is pretty well known for creating or for protecting French culture. And they think globalization it can be a bad thing. But some of the things that he has up here, like they wanted to do their own book scanning culture. They feel that Google itself is a threat to French culture. And, let's see, what are the other... there's a French search engine, and they have their own version of Google Earth. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of crazy stuff that this guy's talking about, and some of it may or may not be true. But one of the things I wanted to actually tackle was the French search engine and why everybody thinks this is bad. You know what? Almost every country out there has its own search engine. It's a native language search engine. It's not translated from something else. So I don't see this as a big problem, really. I mean, when I was in German class in college, there was a German search engine, fireball.de, that got me through a lot of assignments. So, I mean, I don't know. This guy, this just is up there, not necessarily as a knock against France or anything, but more to show you the kind of crap that tech dirt puts out there. So, I mean, I would definitely put dig and slash dot above tech dirt, but it's just sometimes the headlines are too good to miss, so I have to put them up there. And then there's this crazy thing up there that I kind of wish that the lawsuit in America worked this way, but basically the German courts looked over a publisher suing Google because Google's doing this whole scanning of books things. And it's not that you're going to be able to find books online. It's that they'll scan them and say, okay, this is the book you need. Well, people are suing saying, oh, this violates copyright and you're going to be creating a worldwide database of books. And you know what? I don't know. How many people out there have ever actually started to read a book and say, you know what? I only need a couple things from this. Where the hell's the search engine on it? I mean, I would just love to be able to do that and get a little snippet and say, okay, that is the book I need, and here's the page I have to go to. So, they dismissed it and said, yeah, don't bother with this lawsuit. You won't win. How cool is that? I really wish some of the courts around here would say, you know what? You're stupid. Your lawsuit is stupid. Please take your stupidity somewhere else. All right, now, next on... Yeah, like I told you, everybody, there is a huge amount of news today. I have two links from the Wired blog up there, and this is from, I don't know why, but it's 27B/6 is the name of the blog for some reason. But apparently the ACLU, has filed a Freedom of Information Act on a brain scan machine, and the fact that somebody's using MRIs to see whether or not people are lying. That's just weird. So I just thought I would put that up there. And then I don't know if I talked about this before. I'm actually going to have to look through the old show notes, but AT&T and Wired and a whole bunch of other people are actually fighting a lot recently, basically because somebody from AT&T came out and said, yeah, you know all that snooping and everything that people are supposed to be doing are not supposed to be doing online, you know, the traffic's not supposed to be analyzed. Yeah, the NSA has this deal with AT&T where they route all of their internet traffic through a secret room that nobody at AT&T has access to, and then it comes out. It's basically split right down the middle on the fiber. And all of the traffic is analyzed, and everything is cataloged, and then AT&T came back and said, no, you can't share any of this information, it's trade secrets. And then the federal court said to the guy who started leaking the data, said, you know what, because he actually had memos describing everything that was in these rooms, and it's awesome. But the judge said to him, and said, you know what, you can't share these, you can't make these public. So... Wired did. If you go on Wired and you search for AT&T, you will find the entirety of those documents, with certain portions redacted, some of them incorrectly, so if you highlight them, they might actually show up the text that was supposed to have been taken out. So that might be interesting for you to look at. Well, there's a link up, and the reason I wanted to tell you about, that's not what I wanted to tell you about here. What I actually came to talk about is the draft. No, just kidding. Alright, it seems that there is a way, and somewhere in the middle of this blog post, it says there is a way to tell whether or not your traffic is being analyzed by AT&T. And it gives you a simple command you can run in DOS or you can run in Unix. It's basically traceroute and then a web server, or traceroute NSA.gov, according to these people. And then you look for a certain string. It explains everything in the article up there, but I thought this was awesome. It basically tells you whether or not your traffic is being routed through whether or not your traffic is being routed through the center that is known to have this secret room. Well, another thing that came out recently is the fact that apparently every major AT&T hub across the country, over 14 of them, is supposed to have special little secret rooms all their own. And two texts from different ones have already come out, so there's three confirmed, or supposed at this point, and at least 11 others suspected. Well, so I did a little trace route here at the Caffeination, because it said you don't even need to subscribe with AT&T for your service, but rather you just have to have your traffic at some point between A and B, typing in www.google.com. Some point in there has to have gone through an AT&T server. Now, you'd be surprised how many hops, like, your traffic takes. So just going from... Let me see if I had that. No, I took it off. We'll just do it again. But, okay. Well, you'd be surprised how many hops your traffic can take going from one to another, you know, one place to another. So I did a traceroute yahoo.com. Now, what it does is it starts out at your local switch, and then it goes all through these different connections. And since we have Comcast Internet here, it starts there. And gives your IP address and the name of the switch. And then it jumps through like 15, 20 other things. And it can go up to 30 connections with the standard configuration. And apparently the way Comcast is set up... It bounces all around the northeast of Philadelphia, then goes to down to Columbus, then it actually gets out of there. And then I looked in the middle, and the string they tell you to look for, the little piece of information they tell you to look for, is in there. So apparently the NSA could be listening to everything I do online. So in the spirit of that... Rutabaga, Rutabaga, the stork has left the nest. Repeat, the stork has left the nest. That'll confuse them. Nah, just kidding, everybody. yeah, I heard that on a radio show one time. They were talking about how people were... well, not that specifically. Theirs was a lot funnier. But people were talking about how you know, the NSA and everything was watching over them. And then the DJ just cut out and said you know, something crazy like that. And said, just got you. But seriously. So, yeah, that was pretty funny, and I have to learn how not to make fun of the NSA or anything else that's, you know, kind of like a spy organization, because as I finished the first take on the Rutabaga Rutabaga crap, the computer just died out of nowhere. So, for the first time since we started this Caffeination, I actually did not have to re-record the almost 25 minutes of audio that I already had, because I used a little Audacity recovery utility. So if you're going to use Audacity to record something, make sure you get this. Because what Audacity does is it leaves little temporary files all over the place. And if you hadn't been messing around with it too much, it can recover almost everything you did. So after about 5 minutes after the crash went, everything's still fine here. So that's a very good thing. And if you're noticing a slight change in the quality of audio from one recording to the other, and the fact that I just remembered to start up the background music again, it's because the way that it originally recovered the data, it only recovered one track at a time, so they were separate files. So it was easier for me to just keep the first half of this, or first three quarters of this podcast in mono, and just record the rest in stereo like I was. Because it doesn't really make any difference in the size of the file. It might drop at a 1 or 2 megs, and I can't really tell what I'm talking versus stereo or mono, so yeah. All right, so we're done with that. We're going to leave the NSA alone for a little bit. And the final little bit we have from the Tech Tidbit section is today. Welcome to This Day in Tech. Now, the first thing is not actually in tech. I just thought it was funny, so I put it up there. But in 1997, boxer Mike Tyson is disqualified from a WBA title rematch for biting off part of the ear of his opponent, Evander Holyfield. Funny thing is, when I did the spell check of the show notes here, it tried to turn Evander into Evader. Well, if he'd been very good at evading the problem, we never would have had this little note. In 2001, the U.S. Appeals Court overturns a lower court's order to break Microsoft in an antitrust case, thus proving that money can buy you anything. And today, again, not really in tech, but filmography is kind of a tech. Today's birthday, we'd like to say happy birthday to Mel Brooks, who turns 70 today. Yes, he was born in 1926, so happy birthday to Mel. Thanks for all the great movies that you put out, and I don't think he's dead. That would be bad. Happy birthday and he's dead. That's kind of depressing. All right, well, on to our little TPN info here. I'd like to showcase one of our fellow members of the Tech Podcast Network. I'd like to send everybody on over to the Global Geeks Podcast at globalgeekspodcast.com. It's a fun little show between Sebastian and Dave. Two geeks, two different continents, half a world away, and they have rather interesting dialogue between the two of them. It's always a funny show, so I hope you enjoy that one, and let me know what you think of that. And as always, head on over to techpodcasts.com at techpodcasts.com. And click on Tech Podcasts today, or just type in / today after Tech Podcasts. You can see all the show notes from the member shows that are up there, and it's a wonderful little resource. You might find something that you haven't seen before. You might look up there and go, oh, you know what? That looks like an interesting show. Just download one, see how you feel. And if you found this show through Tech Podcasts today, hi and welcome. All right, and the caffeinated bits today, if you haven't been able to tell, I'm a little bit wired. That would probably be because I had around half a pot of that Wake the F Up coffee. So I'm not sure if it's just really strong or I just haven't been drinking very much coffee lately. So we're going to try this out. I'm actually going to try my own little devil's brew, shall we say, a little bit later on this week, because I actually still have half a pot of that coffee left for tomorrow. So it should be fun. Just gotta learn to regulate yourself with caffeine, because if you keep drinking it, so you need like a pot and a half to get a buzz, what's the fun in that? I mean, coffee's great to drink and everything, but, I mean, come on. That's about the only piece of caffeinated news I have for you today. Figure I've ran on long enough with all the caffeination, tech tidbits crap, rather. So, we're just going to send you off here with the last song for my parents. Well, not last song, but last song for this year, anyway. From Black and Tan Records and the PodSafe Music Network, we have Big George Jackson's Blues Band and Love So Strong. Again, a happy anniversary to Scott and Veronica and 30 wonderful years. It's 1976. Wow. All right, so again, this is from Black and Tan Records and the PodSafe Music Network. Big George Jackson, Blues Band, Love So Strong. Let me know what you think.
A love that lasts so long. We have a love, honey. A love that lasts so long. We have a love, 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 love. A love so very strong. When I wake up in the morning and I see your lovely face, I thank the Lord, honey, up above, for his loving love and grace. We have love, 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 a love so very strong. You got the kind the loving sugar that keeps me satisfied. You got the kind of loving, honey, that keeps me satisfied. Bring joy and happiness, satisfaction to my life. Cause we have love, a love that lasts so long. Have a love, baby, a love that lasts so long. We have love, 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 a love so very strong.
That was Big George Jackson's Blues Band and Love So Strong from Black and Tan Records and the PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Well, this caffeination has been brought to you by the letter C. C is for coffee, and that's good enough for me. Alright, you can call our listener line at 206-202-2338. You can email us questions, comments, hate mail at caffeination@gmail.com. We accept all friend requests over at myspace.com/caffeination. And as always, you can find this podcast over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.